It's Tuesday at 9 a.m. That means it's another episode of Kylie Says. Let's go.
Who's ready for season two? I saw Alex Cooper the other night in her second to last stop on her Unwell tour, and it got me thinking about so many things, especially just in the podcast realm, because one of the things, I mean, obviously, she's like the boss when it comes to podcasting from a female entrepreneurial point of view. Her Spotify deal was insane. Her SiriusXM deal was doubly insane. Her home in LA is $10.7 million. I mean, for someone who literally spent like the better half of their mid 20s to late 20s talking about sucking D, I mean, they're doing pretty well for themselves. And it's just such a crazy concept, because at the Oakland tour, which is the one that I went to, I mean, that place was literally packed with so many Gen Z and probably millennial women, many of whom I believe are single. And it's just so crazy to me that it's like, it A, teaches you about storytelling, teaches you about taboo topics, and it also teaches you about the hunger for sisterhood, about talking about or listening to someone who's talking about something like they would to their best friend and feeling like you can relate to them, and why so many of the things that are popular right now are actually focused on real life. Nobody Wants This, written by Erin Foster. All of the girls at work had been telling me, like, you have to watch this show. You would literally love it. And I hadn't given into it yet, but I didn't know that it was about a woman who has a podcast with her sister. And so it honestly just made me more interested in it, because I wanted to see, A, what the hype was about. But the more that I started watching it, I'm on episode 5 now, the more I am absolutely obsessed with the writing of this show. It's almost like Erin Foster and I would be sitting in a room talking shit, thinking, wonder what we would write about if we were to write a TV show about like your life and how funny it would be and the things that we would say and the humor involved in just the day-to-day mundaneness of it all. The way that the lines are read and delivered is truly the embodiment of what I imagine the characters were like in true real life, and how Erin wrote for them is just perfection. It reminds me a little bit of like a Grace and Frankie style writing, in the sense that the characters were so well developed imaginatively in how they were portrayed that it just felt so authentic. The characters felt like they were your friends. They felt like, oh, totally, that's so-and-so, or that's so Grace, or that's so Frankie. And that's absolutely how it feels when you're watching something like Nobody Wants This. And it, you know, tying back to what I was initially talking about with Alex Cooper, is it's like her real life basically was worth $125 million. That's insane. And now, obviously, she's shifted focus a little bit to meet with the top or most famous online musical actress talent that there is. And now I guess we're crossing the bridge into political as well. But it is a true testament to the power of storytelling and to the power of a protagonist that you believe in. I think the other people that are absolutely killing it just in the world and the podcast industry are Lauren and Michael Bostick. And like what Alex Cooper has done is like legitimately a bigger version, a different version of what they've created. Because frankly, what they have created, like, I would love to be a part of that network or the Unwell network. I'm available. But it got me thinking about so many things about podcasting. And one of the reasons that I think Alex Cooper also got big is because, A, she's freaking beautiful. And so She also feels approachable and she's funny. And they had a mix of content, like especially when they went to Barstool and you could actually like see their faces and see them sitting in the studio and they're hot and they're funny and they're talking about sex and people feel turned on and people feel related to what they're talking about. People, you know, like all of those things, the multimedia of it all is also so crazy. And she is truly a marketing genius. And so like all of the marketing just feels very specific to her audience and tailored to like young women as a whole. And as a podcaster myself, who obviously doesn't have like a studio where I go and it's my job, my full-time job, and I get to meet people in person to do my interviews, it's something that is daunting because it's like you want to remain or be equivalent or relevant in some way, shape, or form. And the best way to do that is literally just consistency, showing up, being yourself, and delivering whatever your audience is asking for. And this isn't necessarily the same vibe that all of my other shows have been. And that's because I don't always feel like that version of me. And of course, I'm positive and I am spiritual and I love the content that I put out so far. I'm proud of it. I'm proud to have continued to do this while I'm unpaid and while I'm a full-time mom, oftentimes parenting when my husband is traveling. I'm also working full-time in a demanding corporate job. I'm the manager of our home, the feeder of all the people. And so it's an extra thing that I don't always feel like I can put the time and the energy into it that I would want to. And sometimes it feels like, oh my gosh, do I even want to keep doing this? Like, who's listening? Who is contributing? Who is benefiting from this sort of content? But at the end of the day, I'm like, hey, I hope someone is actually benefiting and listening to this content. But it's also something that I find as an outlet for myself. Today was like a lot. As most people who have husbands who travel a lot will know, whether you have a corporate job or you don't, when you are the sole person at home and then you're also going to all the birthday parties, you're also cooking all the meals, you're also cleaning all the messes, you're also trying to take care of yourself, it can feel like a lot. And part of me didn't even think, okay, why even record an episode at all? I'm tired, I should just go to bed. But I also am realizing, like, I haven't been to the gym in a month. My mental sanity is starting to feel depleted. I haven't had that, like, outlet. I was kind of, like, using moments in time as those outlets, like, oh, a wedding, oh, a this, oh, a that, oh, this conference. And now I'm starting to notice that I've been, like, malignant in focusing on my mental health and more so my physical health. And part of that, I think, is because like I did lose some weight. And so once I started to feel really good, I almost like stopped the whole process as another form of like self-sabotage. And long-winded rant. But the main reason I was bringing this up is because it's people desire multimedia now. People want to be able to see the person who's like talking at them slash talking to them slash engaging with them and feeling like there's that true connection between viewer slash audience and creator. And that's why these live shows are doing so well. I mean, the Giggly Squad is selling out huge arenas also. And it's another way to connect with fans. I mean, Shannon Ford from probably Shannon, or probably a podcast is what her podcast is called, is doing the same thing. And I mean, she was kind of one of the ones who I felt like kind of spearhead the whole tour. And especially with Alex Cooper, she has the Unwell Network now. So not only does she have a huge freaking deal from her podcast where she's interviewing all of these celebrities, few of whom in the Unwell Network have been on the podcast in the past and have done like different TikToks with her and have kind of like been adopted into her circle. But now she's creating ultimately a talent network where as they are booking gigs and getting brand deals, she's likely getting some sort of a commissionable cut from those deals, continuing to build her net worth while at the same time building the net worth of other interesting individuals. I don't totally understand the Hallie addition to the Unwell Network, and I was not super, well, let's see, I don't want to say I was not super impressed. I haven't been a fan of hers. I don't follow her. And so I frankly just didn't really know her personality type. And I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. Like, I don't know much about her or you know, her story and what she's truly signed on to bring to the network as a whole. But I think, and I was talking to someone about this, it's like, how do you go from being someone like Alex, who you're in your 20s talking about all of your different hookups and dating pro athletes and all of these things that like almost sound like they can't be real, and then go from being married? Like, you can only talk about the stories of your sexcapades for so long, because those stories will start to be farther and farther and farther away now that you're actually married. And I think that that's why the content has evolved from less and less focusing on relationships of the past and those sorts of things. And now there's a shift to focusing on the lives of others and what they've learned, and then how you adapt that and how you change your life. And it's truly smart that she's like made that jump. But I think that people like Hallie have likely joined the Unwell Network because you still need to cater to an audience of women that are in their early, that are in their early 20s and are still totally going through the process of like catching up on some of the episodes that they likely didn't listen to when they were in, let's say, high school. And so it's an interesting chasm between like someone like me, who's mid-30s, a mom, two kids, married, have a house of my own, haven't had like any of those experiences in years, but yet I still feel like I connect with her because we all have situations, we all have pasts, we all have exes, like, and then your life just like, oh, I met someone through sports. Okay. Like, you know, you can relate to every different piece. And I think that's something that's just generationally, we all want more of that. And my like goal with my own show is that I put something out there that is relatable to someone. And I think that the consistency of showing up and putting something out there for someone, don't know who they necessarily are, is half of the battle, is actually putting yourself out there and getting vulnerable. Because I guarantee if you talk to someone like an Alex Cooper or you talk to someone like an Alex Earl, they'll say, you know, people were hating on me in the beginning. No one understood why I was doing this. And most people that are really successful will tell you that in the beginning, they had haters. They had people that questioned them. They had people that doubted them. But the one thing that they maintained was their belief in themselves. And I think that that is so critical in being successful on any platform, in any reality, in any digital world today. And it also made me start thinking of this theory that I told my husband and he laughed at, but I strongly believe this is true, at least in maybe like my, in my mind, this is 100% true, is that before you get that ring, you have to literally be like a hoe for your man. And what I mean by that is, well, yeah, I guess literally what I mean is what I just freaking said. You have to be a hoe for your man to make him not want a hoe elsewhere. And you have to keep some of that alive in your marriage. Like, I think one thing that I feel like, I mean, also, mind you, like, anyway, I feel like sometimes when you get married, the men think that life is going to still be like what it was when you were hoeing it out, trying to get that ring and become a wifey. And it's not always like that. Even if you don't have kids, like this has nothing to do with just the kids. Maybe if you don't have kids, you have a better chance at having that like you're a hoe for him sort of vibe. But I don't think that that's the case. New things come up. You're not like planning your time as much as like, okay, I'm going to see him on Saturday night. So we're going to like, you know, it's going to be great. We'll go back to his house and my house. And then like throughout the week, we're busy. We'll see each other a few nights if you're not living together, that is. And so I think this idea of like someone else is always accessible to you is like less of that hoe energy, so to speak. Most girls, I feel like, want to like feel like, okay, they want me, but like when it's convenient for you, like I've planned this, I got ready for the night, like, you know, that sort of vibe. Like when you're dating still and you're like hoeing it up because you're staying the night at a hotel that night, or, oh, you've planned that you're going to stay the night at his house. And so you brought your PJs and your routine is kind of like a pain in the ass because you don't want to have to do it. But you're also like, ooh, this is what life will be like. And then when it's just like that, like forever and ever and ever, I don't want to say that like the sexuality loses its appeal, but the hoe vibe that was there before you were living together, You were seeing each other every morning, every evening. The nighttime routine is more like, oh, I'm so tired. Today was so long and hard with the kids. I just want to relax and do my this and my that. It's different. And I don't totally feel like there's a whole hell of a lot of content for like that group. Of course, there's some, and maybe I just haven't found it, but like that is relatable. And we have things that we can teach the youngsters about, like how, like some of the things that just are not always real on social media, or like how people portray that. Like life is honestly so wild. And the portrayal of how certain things in life unfold don't always like go that way. And if you've only ever seen social media and you haven't actually experienced some of those things yourself, it's probably going to feel like a total what the F is happening when that life like does hit you. Like the whole mom talk thing. I loved the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Chef's kiss. Loved it. Such an easy watch. But now I'm seeing mom talking crop up everywhere. And like, I don't want everywhere mom talk. I just want like that for now. Like, let's just let that one digest for a bit. And now we're all trying to become that, like it's a prize to be won, which on social media, it 100% is. Like people are flying all over the world because now they want to create a mom talk thing. I feel like it needs to be a little bit more like organic than that. And like these women just got ahead of the train. Sorry, folks. And like they made themselves super interesting because of a lot of horrible situations that happened. And like, I don't necessarily know that that's like a goal that I attain to. I think if you are chasing fame from social media alone and that is like your goal and you just want to like make it, then great. But I personally would not want to put myself through like an arrest, a divorce, a swinging scandal, and all of that so publicly in the world just so that I could get some sort of a TV deal where then my life would continue to unfurl, my friendships would continue to unfold, but then we'd still have to meet together every Thursday from X to X to film together and make videos. Like, it does feel a little ridiculous. I actually can't imagine telling some of my girlfriends, like, okay, come over, we'll have the kids play upstairs in one of the rooms, and then for like an hour and a half, we're going to learn a few dances, record them, and then put them out there. It seems so trivial. Like, we have life we want to talk about. We want to bond. We want to be able to relax and share a moment together. Would I do it if someone invited me? Yeah, probably. Sure. But I don't think that I could ever be the one to initiate something like that because it feels inauthentic for me. If I were invited, and again, hello, my human design is literally wait to be invited. If there's a generator out there in the Bay Area wants to start up a mom talk, hello, I'm available. But it's not something that I would go and do, nor is it something that I feel like is, like there's this weird part of me that's like, is that respectable? Even though it's like, we're all watching it, we're all talking about it, women love those shows. I don't think it's so much because we're all on TikTok, like watching them or watching these things happen necessarily, but it's because it feels dramatic and relatable, like so many of the shows that we grew up watching and that are still huge now are. So I don't know. I don't necessarily know where I'm going with this one outside of the fact that this is just an episode full of random thoughts that I wanted to get out there. And so many of them came from me going to the Alex Cooper Unwell tour and just thinking about like how our lives are so different, how me and so many of the people in the audience are leading these different lives, like how I'm there and yet my husband's at home putting my kids to bed. I'm getting photos of my kids, like it, yet we're talking about glup glup or whatever she called it. And it just like, it was just this like strange reality of like, I was one of those people. I was hoeing it up and we didn't have a public forum to talk about it. Can you imagine my millennial friends? Can you imagine if your college life had, I don't even want to say Snapchat, had TikTok? You could literally just be going live on TikTok at a party taking shots and people could just be watching it. Like, that to me is so crazy. I truly feel so thankful that we did not have those things when we were in college. It makes me think, like, horrible thoughts. Like, imagine, okay, someone's drunk or passed out or they're throwing up and you're just like on TikTok, like making fun about it, and it could ruin someone's whole life. Like, that to me feels so wrong on so many levels. And there are so many things that I think are wrong with social media, but having it be like a potential job that can turn you into a multi-millionaire is wild. So wild. And what it keeps coming back to for me is like the ability to storytell. People first will fall in love with how you sound, and then they will fall in love with what you're talking about, and then they will fall in love with how you look and what you bring to the table. Maybe those are a little bit reversed. But if you are authentic, that shows. Like, people can feel authenticity. You can fake it, but it's obvious to everyone else who is truly, like, not faking how they show up. And I think it just goes to show that no matter what age you are, no matter what sort of content you're consuming, no matter what side you're on, whatever, it all comes back to your ability to be a good storyteller and for people to believe in what you're saying. They don't always have to agree with everything that you're saying. Their experience could have been a little bit different, but you have to relate to people at a human level. And that's what's making these people so famous. They're allowing viewers and audiences to follow them in situations that we wouldn't normally see. And people like what they see because it feels authentic. It's truly their life. It's truly how they engage with their family. It's truly what they did on the weekend or how someone treated them. And those are all things that people pay to watch because we want something that's real, but we also want something that's dramatic and takes us out of our own lives for a little bit so that we can see that we're not alone when we're going through experiences that feel hard or dramatic, that feel life-crushing or soul-crushing, where our friendships are tested, our relationships are tested, real life comes in the way, our jobs demand responsibilities, our household demands responsibilities. Like, this is why reality TV is so popular. Yes, some of those things are staged, sure. But the ability for people to tell stories and for us to follow along in someone else's life and see how people live, people are curious about people. They want to see about people. They want to hear and read and learn and listen to other people. And that is something that only a few people are really, really good at doing. TV shows have clout because they follow people, of course. But like, your ability to build an online presence through an authentic frame is so crazy to me. I don't feel like I've mastered it, and I'm not totally sure why, but I love following some people that have because I know what I'm going to get, and I appreciate it and I respect it, and I like that it is their unique thing. Like, some people take such beautiful photos on Instagram, like of scenery, of themselves, of their outfits. And I want to do that so bad, but I haven't mastered it yet. Maybe because I'm so insecure about that sort of stuff. And like, mainly like myself and my body. And that's why I filter the hell out of everything. But I do love when I feel that someone can show up that way. It just says so much about how they're just really talented and creative, and they know how to take a photo that is appealing to the eye. That is not also something that I am good at, even though I think and I want to be that way. It's just not something that I'm good at. I think I would have a lot prettier feet if someone were to do it for me and I were to be the creative director portraying through my words or through a script or some other way what I wanted to look like and then showing some examples. But actually doing it myself is so much harder. I don't know why.
So anyway, if you've listened to this rant for almost 25 minutes, you are a real one. I think the net of my entire spiel right now is really the fact that consistency and authenticity in someone's ability to storytell are so hugely impactful to how people relate to you and just in general. And I think so many of the things that I've been seeing over the course of the last few weeks have really been solidifying that for me, in the sense that you need to continue to bring an authentic voice. And like, what does it mean to be authentic? What does it mean to be you? And one of the activities that I did early on when I was starting this podcast and also starting Golden Hour with Kylie was projects slash, I guess it's not projects as much as like homework. Like, what is your mission statement as a person? And some of that might be a little bit too like corporate or business oriented for you, and that's okay. But I think it's important as you're trying to figure out like, where's your niche? Where's the area that you want to stand out? And I guess you don't necessarily have to know all of those things and all of those answers. But even like as you were planning a wedding, for anyone who's gotten married, I literally focused on like, what are the three words that I want people to take away from my wedding? It was family, fun, and just love. Like, I wanted people to understand that family meant so much to both of us. I wanted it to be fun as hell with people dancing all night, fun music. We didn't even do some of the things a lot of weddings do, like tossing the bouquet and where the husband or the groom tries to like get the garter from your leg. We literally nixed all of that in favor of just consistent dancing all night. And it was so much fun. So I leave you with this. Focus on what makes you feel lit up. And whatever that is, it's the right thing. Whether it lights someone else up, irrelevant. If it lights you up and makes you happy, then frickin' keep with it. Signing off. See you next Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. This is a little bit of a newer style, so any feedback is obviously always appreciated. Remember that this is something I do completely unpaid on the side of being a mom, a wife, and a full-time corporate worker. So if you like the content that you're hearing or you want more of something else, please feel free to comment and let me know what you want to hear. Also, any hits to that like button, that subscribe button mean the world to me and truly help make this podcast go wider than it already is. So if you're liking it, feel free to share it with a friend on Spotify or Apple. I really, really appreciate it. And thank you so much for spending almost half an hour with me.